You're listening to WRUU LP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. You are listening to Murmurations by Kirsten Volness. Is it jazz? Is it classical? Is it pop? Who cares about what label we give it or what musical genre it is? Because it is just wonderful music. You are listening to Evening Eclectic, and I'm Dave Lake, your host, for the next 2 hours of just that, music without labels, just great music and conversation. Enjoy. Tonight, on the second hour of Evening Eclectic, I have back Grant Flick, and we are talking about his latest release on Bandcamp, The Great Door, which is available both in CD and digital download. The Great Door opens us up to this mesmerizing series of both songs with soaring melodies and catching rhythms, and beautiful ballads. Welcome back to Evening Eclectic, Grant Flick.
Thanks so much for having me.
What was the inspiration for this album?
This project originally started as sort of a follow-up to my first solo record, which I did all the way back in 2020-2021, which was mostly a record of original fiddle tunes and kind of more music borrowing from various world fiddling styles. And that's one kind of music that I draw from, that I grew up playing, that I really love. But I also grew up playing a lot of jazz and improvised music that might be slightly more modern in approach in some ways. So this record is kind of the sequel to that, more drawing from those traditions. Like I grew up playing a lot of music by like Django Reinhardt, Stefan Grappelli, enjoy fusion and all sorts of improvised musics kind of under the larger umbrella of jazz in general. So this is kind of the product that ended up happening from that. I wanted something out there that would kind of, one, challenge me to write in that style, but also give a reason to put something on record out in that approach. So this is the end result of version one, and I'm sure there's going to be more follow-ups from it. It was a really fun experience getting to put this record together with kind of a one-of-a-kind crew of people. Ethan Sherman is on guitar from L.A., and Jacob Warren is on bass, both of whom I met at the Acoustic Music Seminar, part of the Savannah Music Festival back in 2016. And then Mike Shinman is on drums on this record. He is also a Michigan person who lives in Kalamazoo, and he works with a lot of pretty varying musical projects. He works with a lot of singer-songwriters, but is also in a group called the Olam, which is this Irish fusion jazz thing. It's really unique, but really amazing music. And I think kind of all those influences for each member is really heard in this project. It's definitely not something that would be like a straight ahead jazz record, for example, but I think falls more under that umbrella than maybe more other things genre wise. But regardless, it's improvised music and it's a lot of fun, and just happy to have it out there.
Well, and as you know, Evening Eclectic is sort of centered on the idea of genre is not an important definition. I'm so used to you in sort of an acoustic framework.
Yeah.
And but this was much more jazz, much more bluesy. A lot of the numbers are just downright bluesy. And I said, oh, this is a nice change. Well, maybe that jazz direction explains why there's no Nicka harp on it.
Yeah, there was always going to be potential for it. I brought in a large batch of tunes for the session because this is the first time this group of people ever got to play together. I was trying to put together kind of a dream group for this. And there's a couple of tunes on there that got some pretty late edits and or were like written during the session, like Fresh Start sort of in the middle of the record was one that I was just kind of like, we need something that's a little bit different. And that's kind of what happened. So yeah, it was a really fun process putting this music together. And it's been fun kind of since then, seeing how it's evolved a little bit. So I live in Michigan, in Ann Arbor, and Ethan is all the way out in LA. So I can't, you know, fly him in for every show or something like that. So I've actually had Sula No, who's a really great pianist, play on some of this stuff in person for the release of this. And that's been really fun too, trying to see how this music would adapt with different instrumentation, different people involved. And I think that's part of the beauty of playing this kind of music too, is that, you know, no matter who's on board, everyone's voice is really going to get heard and has a place for that. So I think that's really evident on the record, but also really evident if you go see it live too.
Well, and the question that immediately came to mind was, because you have jazz-like with the passing around of the melody, so everybody gets to contribute. When they're doing the solo, how much of that is charted and how much of that is just letting them do what they do?
On this record, it's pretty free-flowing. Like most of the rep is really different every time. Like sifting through the takes that we had on this was really fun because there were a lot of things that really changed over the course of the session or had really different takes on everything. So most of it is pretty uncharted. That's also kind of the goal of this project, was really to write, for the most part, short form improvisational pieces, which is something that I really enjoy playing, again, coming more maybe out of early swing or earlier jazz styles. Like that's kind of a thing, even though maybe the vocabulary and stuff that we're using on this record, it might not be the most evident that that's where this is coming from. But a lot of the song forms and stuff share a lot of similarities with that music. So it is very unscripted and really fun on that front. And it was also a really unique opportunity, I would say, to play this music in the studio. We were pretty, I think, completely acoustic, except for the times where Ethan's playing electric guitar. So it really speaks to the level of listening and sort of dynamics that are happening within this group. Mike on drums is really, really sensitive and is such a great player to work with on this, because we were able to record all of these in a live space in one room. And I think really play with each other, as opposed to like, you're going to have this person isolated over here or something like that. I think that really comes through, and it feels like a session of the old days, maybe a little bit, where what you get is what you get. And it's super transparent on the tape. And I actually really love that. I'm really happy with how that came out. We worked with an engineer named Jake Belser, who lives in Bloomington, Indiana, at his studio, Primary Sound. He works at Indiana University and has a really great studio that he owns just outside of town there, and couldn't imagine really a better fit for this record.
Well, I have to say, Michael was absolutely fabulous because of the fact that he used brushes most of the time.
Yeah.
Because that would seem to be the most appropriate thing to do. I mean, still a few sticks now and then, but really mostly brushes to get that sort of feel. Particularly his cymbal work was also very, very delicate.
Yep. It really shows, too, I think, his experience of working in a lot of different musical situations. Because, like, this music, I would say, there's not a whole lot of precedent, maybe, for it. It's kind of its own thing. And, you know, you can tell that he's working a lot with singer-songwriters and vocalists because he's able to play at these really kind of quiet dynamics, but with really great intensity. And yeah, feel very fortunate to get to work with him. And I think he did a really great job kind of bringing this music to life along with the rest of the band.
Yeah, the words that kept coming to me when listening to his playing was quiet passion, which sounds almost oxymoronic, but it's exactly what it is. It's so passionate, but quiet.
Yes, agreed.
So let's start into the album. The first cut is Mentor, and Mentor, it has this fortissimo bang opening, and then we get the opening melody with the guitar and bass, which goes into an ostinato, and the violin comes forward, and then you have this quieter but slower guitar solo into a second crescendo. We start off with this first crescendo, but then we go into the second crescendo, started with a guitar solo. Then we have it quiet again, and we have the violin solo, which leads into the third crescendo, which is really much more bluesy and really lets the violin rip. And then we have a return, in this case, guitar and violin for a duo into that final crescendo. So you have this solos that lead into these crescendos.
Yeah, the title mentor isn't really for like one specific mentor, but I would say kind of largely for a lot of the mentors in my life. And I think that actually comes through a lot in this piece. I can definitely hear some of my favorite players and teachers kind of playing this tune. I think something that was really fun about this one in particular was the melody, and this is maybe one of the more scripted ones that we have. And I think borrows a lot from, in some ways, like Swedish fiddling and European fiddling styles. It's this really kind of long, like almost run-on sentence-y kind of thing happening, but it has these very defined sections still. So then kind of trying to balance that out with maybe a little bit more of a freer, open-ended, improvising section was really fun on this one, to still kind of capture that character, but really let the player speak and add their own take on it when they're in the lead role. So this was a really entertaining one. And again, like very different from take to take too. It's kind of hard to pick just one, you know, to go with, because there was a lot of great music and a lot of really great interpretations of what it could look like. So I really like the take that's on this record, because it has this really nice narrative, as you're talking about, like with the dynamics in it, feels very communicative. And I don't know, has that nice sort of flowiness like the melody, even though we're not necessarily directly referencing it in the improvised sections.
And the next piece and is called Premonitions. And as you know, I always joke with the record companies and with performers to send me stuff that's labeled maybe X, Y, Z. So I don't try to put ideas into the song that aren't there. But this one, I couldn't resist listening to the rest of the album, coming back to this piece, saying, yeah, this is a premonition, because throughout the entire album, there's such great bass with Jacob and Michael on drums, ostinato. And it's so varied from song to song to song, but it's such a great interaction between the bass and the drums, forming that really true rhythm section. And of course, in jazz, the most important musicians on that stage are the rhythm section. That's a personal opinion.
But I agree.
I say, yeah, this is a premonition, because we're going to see that wonderful interaction between the bass and the drums throughout the entire album.
Yeah, this one definitely lets Mike shine, in particular with the big drum solo at the end. But sort of more on the composition side of things, I sometimes feel really challenged by writing tunes kind of in this style where it is like a short form, more improvised piece, because it could go so many different ways and I don't want to limit the player to one idea, but also like capturing a specific idea in a short form can be kind of challenging sometimes. So this was a tune that I started writing like the ostinato that you hear at the beginning, overlaid then with the drums, and then the guitar part is sort of floating above that with these minor 11 chords that are sometimes really in the harmony, and then sometimes they feel like they really go away. And to me, the whole thing of this sort of felt like it was a scary tune. And I don't really write too many things in that character. So it was fun to kind of dive into that, especially in instrumental music. I don't know, it says so much even without lyrics. And I think that's a really beautiful thing about this kind of art form, is that, you know, the complexity of the idea can be really deep, and it can communicate a lot, even though it isn't actually using words to do that. So that was something that I really wanted to dive into and really find this character with the group, which I think we did a really great job of. And again, in particular, big props to Mike for playing so sensitively on this music, and especially in this one, because I wanted to write something too that had more of a drum feature on this record, because it's easy for the people with the harmonic information to really just take front and center all the time. But it's kind of cool to let the percussion take the front role in moments like this as well, because it has such power. So it's another one of those where it's really different every time. And like the first improvised section outside of the head is completely free, basically. That was very different every time. The bass is sort of hinting at that opening ostinato, but not playing it fully. And it's a section, I would say, of very much like it's like a balancing act. It could fall apart very easily, but it's a high yield, high risk, I guess. And I really enjoy getting to be in those situations. And it's, again, super fun to be in that scenario with these players.
Well, one of the things I love about this piece is about the middle of it, and you have this guitar and violin runs right together, note
yeah.
by note by note. But then it evolves into this polyrhythmic chaos.
Yeah, this is definitely the scary part where the maybe the premonition comes to life a little bit. This was something I sort of wrote after initially writing it, because I had most of the material set on this, but then I was kind of thinking like, oh, I think there's a chance here to really go even further kind of in that like scary direction. And I don't know, I love playing free jazz like music of Ornette Coleman, for example. And to me, this kind of had some moments melodically where I was like, oh, I could kind of hear that being borrowed from there. And I wanted to create maybe more of a moment of that. Again, something to like really surprise the listener, but again, dive deeper into what that character of this tune could kind of look like.
And then it evolves out of that, coming back to the sort of pleasant melody with the guitar and violin pits. I mean, a little bit of edgy, a little bit of scratch bowing. But so you're thinking, oh, yeah, we're coming to the end and we're going to sort of end like we began. But no, then we get Michael going wild at the end.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun getting to play that ending. And you'll hear on the record there, we were doing this all in one room. So at the end of that drum solo, pretty much every mic is a drum mic at that point. And it's really fun getting to hear Mike really get to go for it. Because for much of the record, he's so reserved and so like he's intentional through all of it, but like intentionally kind of maybe more in the back of the mix rather than the front of the mix. So definitely a very fun moment at the end of this tune.
And I think the way it was mic'd and the fact that you all did it in the same room gives it that sort of live feel too.
Yep. Yeah.
So I presume that was totally intentional.
Yes. I think my favorite playing in improvised music is when it is like this. It just feels way more natural in the player chair to me to get to be in that position. And then listening to it on the other side, I think having that transparency is super high risk in this day and age because you're going to get some imperfections in the playing potentially, and it's going to be what it is. There's really no hiding. But I love that because it's so raw and it's so real. So I think having that for this record and this kind of music is really important for giving it kind of that true real life feel.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you and by the Arts Southeast Sulphur Street Fair. The Sulphur Street Fair takes place on Friday, May 1st on 39th Street between Bull Street and DeSoto Avenue from 5 to 9 p.m. as part of Starland First Fridays, featuring local vendors, artists, food trucks, music, and more. Arts Southeast Sulphur Street Fair is the perfect way to celebrate art and the community in Savannah. For more information, visit artssoutheast.org. The Drawn to the Sea exhibition opening reception will be on Friday, May 1st from 5 to 7:30 p.m. at the Ships of the Sea Maritime Museum. Meet talented artists Avery Hick, Sharon Norwood, and Lee Heidel. And Drawn to the Sea comic books will be available for purchase and can be signed by the artists on site. Enjoy music and light refreshments, cocktails and drinks available for purchase. Limited tickets available at shipsofthesea.org. Contemporary Classics features weekly conversations with and the music of nationally and internationally known contemporary art music, musicians, and composers. Join me, Dave Lake, your Contemporary Classics host, and these musical guests each week on Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. on WRUU. Welcome back to Evening Eclectic. I'm your host, Dave Lake. The third cut on the album is Mark. And I can't tell you the number of times I've heard jazz musicians say, you know, it's about the third cut, fourth cut on the album, it's got to be a ballad. And so I don't know what manual that's in, but it's amazing the number of people who say that. And this, again, is a beautiful ballad, an absolutely gorgeous ballad, because it starts with quiet arco bass, opening with a melody over strum guitar. Then the melody shifts to the violin with brushes on the drums. Again, I love that wonderful backing that Michael does on the drums. And then the guitar melody, again, over brushes and the drums and the harmonies in the strings, and then shifts back to the violin at the very end.
Yeah, this is a piece dedicated to my grandfather on my mom's side. And I wrote this a while ago, probably a couple years after he had passed. And I really enjoy getting to play ballads in particular. And I love music with space. So sort of what you're talking about with, okay, third track, we need a ballad, we need something different. And it's really highlighting that need for contrast in something like this. And that was the idea behind putting this here, is you have this really crazy open, there's lots of blues happening, there's lots of action and high density music maybe. I wanted something that really highlighted more of the space and how we could play very openly on that front after hearing the first two cuts. I really love getting to play this tune for all those reasons, but the harmony as well is something that I really enjoy in this one. Again, very transparent, but the bridge can be kind of complex or rich, I guess is maybe a better word for it. And yeah, I think this tune really came to life in a nice way, especially getting to go after that spacious sort of sound and really go after maybe beauty in this setting, which can often get overlooked.
Thank you.
And the next cut is entitled 42. Where did the title come from?
Yeah, good question. So something that happens a lot in jazz, and this is kind of an idea more from maybe bebop is where this got popular, was the idea of a type of composition called a contrafect, which is where you might take a very popular tune, the chords and the form of that tune, and then write a different melody to it. So probably one of the more famous examples of this is Charlie Parker wrote a tune called Donna Lee, which has the same chord progression and form as Back Home Again in Indiana, which was a very popular tune at that time. And that's always been something that sort of fascinated me, because you can write these really complex melodies to maybe a more standard form, or you could go the opposite way too. You could actually make it simpler or something like that. But this is sort of playing off of that idea, but it's in a very indirect way. So I guess it's, I don't know, maybe an indirect contrafect of a tune called Swing 42 by Django Reinhardt, which is really just like a rhythm changes tune, but it has this very sweet melody. And I wanted to write something that maybe went after that character, but didn't necessarily borrow or steal directly what the form looks like, or the chords for that matter. There's some harmonic resemblance of it, like very big picture, but neither the form or really the harmony is directly a contrafect of that. So that's sort of where this tune came from. It's more just like the vibes of Swing 42, but without the swing and maybe just the 42, I guess. So yeah, I guess it's sort of unique in that way of writing, but I really like trying to write tunes like that, because they often, for me at least, kind of get after the character of something, and I don't know, learn a lot about how music is made from doing a process like that.
And also in this cut, as well as throughout the album, we'll often hear Jacob playing Arco. Mm-hmm. And he plays Arco so well. I mean, he's a classically trained bassist and so orchestral bassist. So, of course, he plays a lot of Arco, but he plays Arco so well. Now, was this your idea to have him play more Arco, or was that his idea?
I think a bit of both. We work so much in a duo together that we know each other's playing really well and have big trust on that front, I would say. So I'm trying to remember even when I brought this tune in, what I was thinking. He starts the melody on Arco on this one. I think originally I hadn't imagined that this one would have been on Pitts for the melody, but he was like, I kind of want to bow it. And he's in the band and I want to trust what he thinks is going to work. And I heard him play Arco and I was like, yeah, this is really cool. This gives it kind of a different direction. And, you know, he plays so beautifully too. It's hard to argue with that. And I think that's part of what's really fun about putting this music together with this crew in particular, and especially with Jacob, is you're going to learn a lot about what your own music could sound like, and things really change. And I think being open to that is pretty cool, because like if I had a different bassist playing this music, you know, maybe Pitts would sound really good as well. So I think there's a lot of right answers on that front. And I think what comes down to what makes it really conversational and the fun of like this more improvised format is that it could look a lot of different ways and work in a lot of different ways. So with Jacob in the group, it's kind of a no-brainer. Like if he hears Arco, I'm going to be like, yeah, you hear it, do it.
Well, and the combination with the other instruments too, because for instance, he takes the melody with the bass and passes it off to the violin. In the next piece, Fresh Start, he takes the melody and hands it off to the guitar. And so this combination of the Arco and Arco in handing off to the violin, and then the Pitts to guitar Pitts. So that combination then of Pitts to Pitts also is a wonderful blend.
It really increases again that contrast throughout the record. Like you get to hear maybe more timbres than you might typically hear on a jazz record with the same instrumentation, because we have people like Jacob on this record that are going to be so good at hearing those differences and making really intentional, good musical decision making in those scenarios. And that's something I really enjoyed about putting this record together was, you know, I brought in all this material kind of with some ideas in mind of how it might end up playing, but ultimately knowing, all right, I'm bringing this to play with these people. I want to hear how they're going to interpret it and how we're going to interpret it together. And definitely borrows, I think, a lot from the acoustic music seminar way of thinking. That's really where, you know, at least Jacob and I learned how to arrange music kind of collectively as a group and make those decisions with everyone in mind and having everyone involved in that, which I think gives the music more meaning to the player. And I think ultimately makes a better piece of music to listen to from the listener's perspective. Sometimes having one person in charge and having them have their way is a good thing. But I really enjoy that collaborative aspect of this. And I think that's hopefully shows through in the recording on this, that it really is group effort, even though, you know, it might be a Grant Flick album.
And you said this is probably Swing 42 without the swing. But to me, the violin, particularly when you take the melody, it had a real dance-like feel to me.
I guess it's in, you could call it in 3 or 6, I guess, which is also kind of fun for this record. Like a lot of it is not in 4/4, I guess. Kind of different maybe than what you might expect from a typical jazz violin record. Hard to say. I don't know. Could look a lot of different ways. But that was something that I really enjoyed, again, with this music, thinking again about contrast and making every tune feel its own way and really having its own character, was really following the melody wherever it went. And for this one, it happened to be in 6. And I don't typically write my music down either. So like all this stuff is being taught by ear to the group, and, you know, might have some very archaic looking charts or something like that at the start of this process. But most of this is kind of being communicated on the instrument or by ear. And I think that, again, really makes it open-ended, hopefully, for the players interpreting it and getting to play it and make it their own.
Thank you.
Well, the next cut is the one you added at the last minute, and that's Fresh Start. This also has a ballad feel to me. And I love the opening, but with the strum guitar and the drum beat, that methodical drum beat, which then is taken over by a gentle violin melody. And then you come back to that toward the end with that gentle drum beat again with the guitar.
You know, not something maybe I expected at the start of the session. I had brought in, you know, a bunch of material at the beginning, and, you know, we were playing through it all in our one day rehearsal before, basically. And I was, okay, I still feel like something is sort of missing in the larger work of the record. So I think I wrote this maybe after the first night of either rehearsing or first day of recording. And I wanted something that had a very different feel. I think Mike did a really great job of interpreting that with like the tom groove at the beginning of this that you hear, and kind of throughout it as well. It's maybe more borrowing from like a funk R&B sort of sound. And having something that was a bit more sparse as well was something that I wanted with this one. I really liked how the guitar got to function in this one as well. It feels in a lot of ways very piano-like. And it has these moments of really getting to shine in a solo room. Like there's that one solo break at the start of the guitar solo on this one that's super fun. And it you know, it gets Ethan a chance to kind of have like guitar trio moment as well. I love getting to accompany on the violin as well. It's such a great instrument for that. So experimenting with, okay, how could we have like pads in the background? Again, sort of borrowing from this idea of, you know, we could use Arco here in sort of in unexpected ways for a music that's put together in this way. So I was a really big fan of how this one came out. It still gave my wheels turning on, okay, well, if that works, what else could go?
Well, again, I don't want to sound redundant, but the interaction between Ethan and Michael, for instance, is just fabulous here. And the interaction between Ethan and you is just fabulous in this piece too.
Thanks. It's a special treat getting to play with these guys. The ears are just always so up and attentive. There is a lot of good stuff to pick through.
Thank you.
Just looking at the title of the next piece, Running Shoes, I figured, hey, we're going to get away from the ballad and we're going to be back into a quick pace. And I wasn't mistaken because it jumps right in to a quick pace with the violin. And yeah, it meets the title, Running Shoes. And then we get into great guitar solo. I just love the guitar solo on this piece too. And again, the drums are featured.
Yeah. So this tune, again, sort of trying to get some of the tradition stuff from maybe earlier jazz or something like that, even though it might not feel like that when you first hear it. This tune is a 10-bar blues. So sometimes I like to play these games with myself compositionally of like, how can I maybe reinterpret old material to make something new or sort of get the creative brain going a little bit. And I had always wanted to write a blues, or really this could apply to a bunch of different forms, where like at the end of a 12-bar blues, like a typical blues form, you would have these extra two bars of the one chord, or sort of the chord that feels the most settled or like home, basically. And I had wondered, how could you make it feel like an Escher staircase, where it's like you have these different staircases that are going to new places, but they never end, even though it kind of looks like they do and they're interwoven. So this tune is kind of barring like all those ideas into one, where it's sort of stealing from a blues form, but it's chopping off the end of it. So it feels never quite settled. And I think that really comes through, and it has this nice like jogging rhythm to it. That was really fun to get to play. Like, I remember I played a gig maybe a week after we did this record and someone had called the blues, and I got so stuck in this form, I like forgot that a typical blues has like the extra two measures. So that was, I don't know, something that was really fun about playing this one, is that it really gives you sort of familiar material, but it puts you outside of your comfort zone still. And again, super interactive. Like, you'll hear that in the trading at the end of this tune. We're just having a blast getting to try to find our way through this form. Even though it's so familiar, it still felt so new.
And it gives it a certain edginess.
Yeah. And I think, again, like Mike's interpretation of this on the drums definitely goes into that. When I was writing this tune, I wrote it on mandolin, and I definitely had the Sam Bush reggae, like funky chop going in my head in the background when I was writing this. And I think that comes across still.
Thank you. Well, we've been having these upbeat tunes like Running Shoes. We've had these wonderful ballads. And now for something completely different from both of those. And the next tune is Bright Sadness. And this is a wonderfully introspective and thoughtful because it has arco bass, quietly opens with that. You have the guitar arpeggios on top of that. It gives us this introspective and thoughtful feel. And then you have that continue, and then we get the cymbals on the drums, which add in too. That gives it additional sonic variety.
This one came out really cool. I wrote this on tenor guitar, which you hear on the record. Like I'm playing, it's a 5-string octave tenor guitar. So it's like a cello with a high E string, but it's a guitar. So the voicings are very widespread. And if you hear like Warren and Flick material, that's the guitar on those records. And it's really, it pairs well, so well with Jacob's bass. Like I can play, you know, some of the bass information and be the chordal instrument, but it has this really dark timbre and it is very warm. So we really love using it in that group. And I wrote this sort of thinking on this concept that relates to like Lenten season and like Easter. People can Google it. It's, I don't know, kind of complex, but it's this sort of beauty of the sadness and the hope that, you know, we have of like the resurrection. And it's, I don't know, it was really fun getting to put this together, especially with the bass as the feature instrument. Jacob did such a good job really owning this melody, which is actually super hard to play on bass. Like it does not sound like it on the record. But it really technically demanding because it's really like an expanded chord melody is what's happening here. I had wrote the melodic material to be able to play it solo on tenor guitar with some of the harmonic information sitting beneath it. But then we sort of expanded out to the trio setting and added the percussion in there to kind of give it more of that juxtaposition of like the brightness and the sadness, I guess.
And that's one of the things I really love also about Jacob's playing, is that it is so thoughtful, so introspective, so matching the mood that everybody else sets.
And I think really helping the group define what that is too. This is still an improvised piece of music. Like there is a melody and there's chords and there's a form that is maybe more scripted on this one than the other tunes, but there's still a lot of interpretation that goes into it. So it feels somewhere between, you know, like what you might expect in like classical chamber playing and jazz. And I really love that kind of gray area stylistically and interpretively, because it allows so much room for the players to bring their own interpretation and bring their own voice to it, which I think was really unique about this one.
So after these seven cuts of such a variety of music, you can't help but think, we've covered territory here. Where else are we going to go? And then the last cut on the album, Leaning, took us in that direction, because this is such an interesting piece with these bluesy swing and these rough edges, a little bit of gritty, sort of almost scratch bowing. It is this wonderful combination of this luxurious swing and gritty acoustic sound.
Totally. Yeah, this is one of my favorite things that I think I've gotten to record. It's really fun getting to play this one with this group. Yeah, so the idea behind this tune, I wanted something slightly humorous, because that was not really something that we had hit on with the rest of this rep. But it really kind of covers that side of things, but also, as you're saying, has this rough edginess to it and this swing and this blues. And I think it's a really great encapsulation of like a lot of the stuff on the record. It's a short form tune that's technically only a 3-chord song, which I think is really funny about this one, because it definitely goes a lot more places than that, I would say. But again, sort of borrowing from maybe the vocabulary of Ornette Coleman. And I love Thelonious Monk's writing, and I think that kind of ends up showing the influence here a little bit too, where you have these really heavy dominant chords, but with a weird resolution. And it gets this quirkiness through to the listener in a really fun way. The title comes from, growing up, we always had golden retrievers, and big dogs have this half asleep lean to them that they do when they're tired and they might be up against the wall and they're just kind of gently starting to doze. And I love the sort of playful and like goofy nature of that. So I wanted to write something that was kind of expressing that. And I think this one at least hopefully gets that across.
And as we get to the end, you have the violin taking us toward the end with a repeated figure, but then it ends with this very techno electronic feel.
Yeah, this was all Ethan Sherman. He brought his Telecaster for this session. This was a pretty much thrown together group. We weren't exactly sure what guitar was going to suit best for most of the material. And he ended up playing acoustic on, I think, everything except this track. And we started playing it in rehearsal with both guitars. And we were like, yeah, the electric is totally way to hear. And he had his pedal board too. And we were doing a take, the one that made the record here. And all of a sudden I hear in the headphone, whoa, he's going to work over there. He's got these loop stations going on and, you know, just having things stack and stack and stack. And definitely in the character of what was happening there, of really just making it feel topsy-turvy. Yeah, I don't know. It was so fun. It was a surprise to all of us too when that started to happen, because we didn't know what to expect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, is there anything about this album that you really wanted to talk about that I didn't bring up?
Just expressing that this, I really hope listeners find it enriching in some way in their life. Instrumental music in particular, as I said earlier, like really speaks in different ways to different people. So I hope that you get a chance, you know, to listen to this in a setting where you can just have the time and the chance to sort of focus on this. And I hope that it does some good in your life, basically. I'm just really happy this is out there, like that this gets to be shared with people, because I love playing this kind of music. I don't always get the opportunity to do it. But yeah, people can find this on Bandcamp, on CD, digital, and then I also have vinyl printed as well for this. It sounds great on that format too. I was really shocked how well it went to that side of things. But thank you so much for listening. And as always, you know, you're able to find so much in it. So thank you for being interested.
Tonight on Evening Eclectic, I've had back Grant Fleck, and we've been talking about this new release, The Great Door. And I hope folks go through The Great Door, because I hope you heard from tonight's show that there's such a wealth of music behind that great door. So I want to thank you so very much, Grant, for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.